What's going on? What's happening, Africa? This is Jackson Vunganyi right here in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Nadia Sami. Thanks for joining us. We'd love to have you on board. This is Upfront on the Voice of America.
You know, it's Upfront, y'all. Blazing up the place. Reaching out to you from out of the Voice of America news. Yeah, Wally Money will light the last year.
In many schools across Africa, disciplinary action often comes in form of corporal punishment. Teachers do not hesitate to use the cane, slaps, and whips to maintain discipline in class. Students who underperform in class are also punished as a way to scare them into performing better on the next exam. In an education system where a lot of attention is paid to performance in standardized tests, a student who falls behind a certain grade will most likely be punished by whipping or beating or slapping by the teachers. Now, of late, there has been some debates on how effective corporal punishment is in helping students improve on discipline and academics. In some parts of Africa, laws have been passed to make it illegal to beat students, but it still persists. And we continue to see cases where students are severely injured both physically and emotionally by the beatings. Some teachers and parents continue to support corporal punishment. They say that this is the only way that discipline can be maintained and academics improved in schools. Others disagree. In fact, they say that such punishment is ineffective and also violates international child laws. So what is your take on this? Should beating or corporal punishment be banned in schools? Does your school punish students by beating them when they commit an infraction or do not do well in school? Let's talk. This is Upfront on the Voice of America. I'm Jackson Vunganyi in Washington with Nadia Sami in Johannesburg, South Africa.
In Africa generally, when you are young, the best way to bring you up is to through certain trainings, either from your aunties or your uncles or your mother or your father, about specific roles of being a man and being a woman in the future. So when you do something wrong, the best correction actually is to at least give you some stroke. Yes, of course. I when I was in primary school, I had to go through so many of this. One is that sometimes you go to school very late, sometimes you don't abide by the school rules and regulations, and the best way to correct you up is to give you some few canes.
Find a way how to correct them. Apart from having inflicting physical, like physical injury to make them understand that what they are doing is wrong, you can correct them by probably instilling maybe something else, maybe information that can correct them and help them understand that what they're doing is wrong and they should do things differently. You will hate the person punishing you. It doesn't matter whether you are wrong or not. You see, that is another problem. Because there are some teachers I hate. I used to hate them, of course not now, but I used to hate them because the punishment, they would punish you and you think you're not wrong, but you see them, they feel you're wrong. But because they don't find a way to communicate it, they want to inflict that physical injury or pain so that to make you understand. Of course you'll try, you'll understand, but you sometimes you don't even want to do the right thing anyway because you are annoyed as well. So it doesn't work that much.
Once a teacher beating a student, that student will be afraid when the teacher enters the class. Instead of concentrating on what he or she is teaching, he or she will be like, oh, this teacher beats me every day, so he or she won't concentrate on what he or she is teaching.
Beating in school is an effective disciplinary measure because there are some students who are naughty. But once you have corrected a child and the child has changed, the beating should stop. But when the child has refused to change, then it should continue.
I don't think that's the best way. If you talk to somebody and if you talk to that person in a wise way, I think that person is going to be able to,
We know that corporal punishment is used in schools around the continent for a number of reasons. Most commonly, it's to instill discipline or to punish students for alleged wrongdoing, whatever the case may be. But we've certainly heard reports of young children receiving corporal punishment, canings, beatings, etc., for coming to school late, missing school without permission, having dirty or torn school uniforms, not doing homework, disobeying teachers' demands, etc., etc., etc. These are just some of the reasons. And a lot of these reasons are things that most students would come across in their everyday lives. You might be late, or you might have missed your doing your homework for a valid reason. These are things that happen in schools every day, and we need to discuss what are the correct punishments then to be handed out. Certainly, we can't say that bringing out the whip will always be the best way.
Up front of the Voice of America, we are talking about corporal punishment in schools in different educational institutions around the continent. Corporal punishment has been banned in many educational systems around Africa, but it still persists, and some teachers still maintain that it is necessary, or many educators still maintain that it is necessary that kids get a spanking or a beating or whatever form of punishment you would consider as corporal whenever there is any type of infraction, to put them in line. So Ophaniel Gooden Theodore is a young reporter in Freetown, Sierra Leone. On my recent visit, he took me around the city, and you know, one of the most remarkable things that we saw was the amount of corporal punishment that was taking place in the schools. And we did visit a school where the school administrator was flogging kids as they walked into the school, and then we saw one of the teachers also inside a class meting out punishment by flogging his students. And I called him in Freetown so we can have a discussion, a conversation about corporal punishment, because the time when me and him were talking about it, we did have a divergence of opinions, if you must say. And, Gooden, welcome to the show. Thank you very much for joining us today. So, Ophaniel, when I was in Freetown recently with you, we passed a woman selling sticks on the street. How common is corporal punishment in Sierra Leone? How pervasive is it? And where is it most often? Is it at school or at home?
Corporal punishment is quite common in Sierra Leone, though there have been many advocates who are trying to, reduce the amount of corporal punishment at home and in the school, but it's quite common in Sierra Leone.
Okay.
Because corporal punishment is often tagged or associated with a biblical quotation which says, "Spare the rod and spoil the child." So most Sierra Leoneans will often say, if you spare the rod, you're going to spoil the child. So they believe that the best way to discipline their children at school or at home is to use corporal punishment, and that's through flogging.
Is there a structure by which people base on how many flogs a child should receive based on what they have done, what infraction they have committed?
I mean, the amount of punishment you receive depends on the offense committed. Let's say for lying, for instance, maybe you'll receive 6 strokes, or coming to school late, you receive 6 strokes, and stealing or other petty crimes which are grave, you will receive a dozen or up to 2 dozen.
Is there a standard whip or standard stick that is used?
Well, the sizes of the sticks varies. You know, you have thin sticks, you have fat sticks, you know, you have medium-sized sticks, but they just use the sticks that will inflict more pain. Some parents or teachers believe that slim sticks, which is often called in local language, local parlance, swai-swai. It means it will enter the bone. You know, you will feel it in your marrow. And some believe the fat sticks,
that's
like
terrible,
using
man.
It will, will leave an impression on your buttocks. But when I was in Form 3, I remember I had our former master, our former teacher, you know, he often threatened us, "I'll make gutters on your backside," you know. And he actually meant that, because when it gives you a stroke, there will be this lasting impression on your butt.
How effective is this as a deterrent for students from committing, further infractions? And I know these meted out on students for different reasons. Either you came late, like what we saw in Freetown, me and you were we were visiting this secondary school and the teacher was punishing students, flogging them for coming in late to school. But also they can beat you for having received a lower grade in class. How is this effective as a disciplinary measure?
You know, one thing with discipline, I think people wrongly or rightly perceive that discipline goes with fear. For example, if you are afraid about overdoing, like you're afraid that you will receive punishment doing something, then you will deter from doing it. For example, if you know that you're going to get flogged for not doing well in school, then you want to avoid being flogged, and then you will concentrate on your studies. I think that's the opinion that they go with. Though it has worked well with for some people, it has not quite worked well, because if that was the case, you won't be having dropouts from school. Actually, some students even drop out of school because they are afraid that they might get flogged.
Is there any campaign going on that you know of in schools to have flogging abolished?
No, I don't know for students coming together to form a pressure group, but there have been international NGOs, there have been NGOs who advocating, and Sierra Leone has been part of so many conferences that are signatory to certain conventions to protect the rights of children, and the Ministry of Social Welfare has been campaigning the maximum strokes and the minimum strokes.
Do you believe that some teachers or educators in general abuse this disciplinary measure and they overdo it sometimes?
Yeah, I believe so. And in certain instances, if you have some, there's a gradient between a teacher and a pupil for one reason or the other, they use it as a way of venting their anger on this pupil. And there have been cases wherein they will injure the kid, and then the parents will get to the school and try to settle it out with the principal or the head of the school.
Would you love to see it abolished?
Well, to some extent, yes. To some extent, no. Mm. Because the reason why, I said to you when you were in Freetown, I think probably kids out here are wired differently compared to Western kids. The reason being that, they are stubborn to some extent,
I would beg to differ that kids in the West are as stubborn as those in Africa and other parts of the world. I think they're all informed by different sets of environments and circumstances, but I don't know whether one group should be flogged and the other not flogged. And I know we did have this conversation, me and you. Other people who are proponents of this flogging or this corporal punishment going on would say, well, we were flogged as kids, they should be flogged too.
No.
You want them to feel the same pain that you felt?
Western kids are not stubborn. No, what I'm saying here is, they are equally stubborn, right? Mm. But in the West, there are so many other things. You can ground your child for committing certain acts, and the only effective form of punishment, it's to instill fear in them. You will flog them. I don't mean that you need to flog them all the time, but let them know there is a provision for flogging. Yeah, my granddad, he flogged me a lot, when I was coming up, and it was at a massive scale. He doesn't even use the cane you saw, the sticks you saw. He used cable, right?
Mm-hmm.
And but it's
that is brutal, man. He used cable
back then, but people don't use cables and rope now to flog their children, We can punish our kids, but it doesn't need to be at the same scale like my grandfather did, because he was coming from a different era.
Good, and thank you very much, man. It was nice to catch up with you, and I appreciate your insights on this.
Thank you too, man.
teacher to Africa.
The argument among the perpetrators of the punishments is that if you beat students, they will perform or they will understand it better and they will know better next time. Others disagree and say that this form of education, quote-unquote, damages a student's prospects of being a well-formed adult. It also interferes with a child's right to receive an education and to be protected from violence. Christo Nokori is a Nigerian-American whose parents are immigrants from Nigeria. She went to school in suburban Washington and was never at the receiving end of any type of corporal punishment, either at school or at home.
So usually the teachers would give the students about 2 to 3 warnings, and then kind of depending on the offense, if you have it, they would either kind of not let them go out to recess, or they'd have extra homework.
Extra homework was punishment.
They'd be sent to the principal's office, and then the teachers would be called into conferences. So that's kind of like the level of escalation.
Okay.
Sometimes they'd
be... there was if you did the first time, second time offense, third time offense.
Yeah. So usually there was like warnings, and then if you kind of didn't pay attention to the warnings, then start with like no recess, more homework.
Now, did that work?
I mean, it worked for me. I was always afraid of getting in trouble.
Really?
But, like, for other kids, I mean, it kind of just depends. I mean, you always have those problem kids in class that really just, like, don't care and act out. But I feel like a lot of it is just kind of, like, what's being taught and just having, on the part of teachers, making sure that their content is interesting to everybody and, like, can keep everyone.
So there was the option of being whipped by a teacher or any school administrator for any infractions.
Oh, no, that would never happen.
Was not part of it.
No, not at all. Not
were you raised up to understand that that wasn't part of the option? Was there fear at any point that I will overplay my hand and that teacher might smack me or beat me?
No, I mean, there'd be legal repercussions to the school if that ever happened to students.
And as at a student, you knew that?
I mean, I knew that that wasn't the protocol. So, I mean, because that never happened. And so if it did happen, like, run home and tell mom and dad, and then...
Now, your parents at home didn't spank you at all?
No, I was always good.
Really? Come on now. I mean, your parents, I guess, a different approach different attitude to
I think because that they went through that, I feel like they did not want to have the same approach to disciplining their children as they went through when they were young. So like with me and my brothers, it never was spankings, at least for me. Like, they never kind of went that route. They usually just tell me to do something, and then
you were just a good kid.
Yeah, basically.
How good? Every kid has a rebellious side to them. How were you able to maintain that and get away with it?
I mean, what they don't know can't hurt them, right?
I see. You were just too smart to be caught doing it. Gotcha. Do you feel like that upbringing shaped you?
Yeah, I mean, I think it did. I mean, I was always kind of like respectful
towards... At least positively influenced. Yeah,
I mean, I think it did. I think I kind of recognize now like what I see, at least in like the younger generations, that, I mean, I feel like there's not as much kind of respect for elders and like respect for parents and teachers as there were in prior generations, which is a bit alarming. But for me, it kind of was like, I feel like I grew up with those values of, you know, respecting those that are older than you.
Nadia, what is the policy on corporal punishment in South Africa? Were you beaten as a young high school student?
Well, corporal punishment is illegal in South Africa, Jackson. Teachers do not have a mandate to beat children. It is against the law. There have been many cases where students have raised the alarm. Just recently, we've had an incident in South Africa where amateur footage, cell phone footage actually, has come to light, where students were beaten on the school ground by the principal and accompanied by the school security guards. In the background somewhere, a fellow student was actually recording the beating. This has caused a huge uproar in the country. It is against the law. Similarly with parents as well, parents are not allowed in terms of the law to beat their children. The problem is that in some of the cases we've seen in South Africa, it's still being done, even though it's not supposed to be done, it is still being done. And it's not just light beatings that we are seeing, Jackson. It's beatings where young people are sustaining serious injuries. We've seen bruising to the face, to the body. And there's been a big outcry. Human rights bodies are saying we need to step up the watch against this. But on the other hand now, teachers are saying the situations in school are becoming increasingly hard to deal with. And that ranges from rebellious behavior from students in the school. This has been an issue that's been in our local news a lot recently, and we've certainly had arguments from both sides. There are a lot of traditionalists who say, well, in the past, young people were beaten, and they've turned out quite all right. It was a means of instilling discipline. But I think the worrying factor is that in some of the incidences we're seeing now, it goes beyond instilling discipline, but it's actually injuring children in such a way that it might turn them off education, that it turns them away from school, that they don't want to come back into the classroom, they don't want to face teachers because they're living in fear. And certainly that's not the type of environment that we want to have in our schools anywhere around the country. I'm blind to you, haters. Can't touch me, war instigators.
Miss every silo, the real scared. The Malay. Yeah, I'm Alex Omodi. In Africa generally, most of the colonial people, they say Africans learn better by being beaten or whatever. And also, the aspect is that it is already in our belief that when you want to correct somebody, for that person to feel that he has done something, he also has done something wrong, you have to pinch a bit.
It depends how you bring up a child. I'm a father. I have two kids. They are 2 and 4 years. Sometimes I have to quarrel with them and, you know, make them understand that what they are doing is not right. But I think also, even if you don't have to beat a child for them to know if something is wrong, you can talk to them. And you see, if you talk to them politely, it even goes far more than correcting them, like than beating them. Because you see, if you beat them, you instill fear. You know, and fear is not good, especially if a child grows up fearing somebody or something that much, they have developed some kind of psychological problem. So I think this issue of punishment, punishing children, is something which actually should be abolished.
Spanking is actually part of the bringing up of the child, you know. It depends on the, you know, the context and the culture.
Excuse me, ma'am. Nadia, some have argued that corporal punishment is not limited to schools and that in fact it's an extension of the type of disciplinary action that many African parents exercise at home with their children. When a child misbehaves, they get slapped or beaten by anybody. Actually, a family member has the right to discipline them. So are teachers only doing what is generally acceptable form of disciplinary action in an African home? So my colleague Henok Fente, we were recounting our experiences in high school. He went to school in Ethiopia, went to school in East Africa. We are both recipients of corporal punishment. Henok agrees with me that this is an extension of the type of disciplinary action or activity that many African parents exercise in their homes. And so in school, it becomes a norm.
Beating was part of the regular school life. It starts at the flag hoisting ceremony in the morning, where we sing the national anthem. And right after the national anthem is when they call the bad boys of the entire school.
That was like a morning ritual every day.
It's a morning ritual. So
who has compiled the list? Who compiles the
Ababa
list?
Alamu. You know, we have homeroom teachers who basically have our attendance. They know our grades and everything. You know, they have an understanding of where everybody is in terms of behavior. And, you know, at the end of the year, they also give you grades for that.
Right.
So they keep a tab on you, pretty much. And when that tab is full, then you would be called out in the morning flag hoisting ceremony. And Ababa Alamu, come here. And his crime would be read. He stole a carrot from the school agriculture project where the student actually worked himself, and he would be beat right in front of us. But so he would be sentenced to whipping, like 10 whipping, 15 whipping.
I find something very disturbing with these public whipping ceremonies. I feel like it's something ceremonial and you know, like some teachers are enjoying this. Like teachers enjoy this.
They enjoy it. And here's the thing, though. The students who are about to get that whipping, they understand it. So you put on 3 or 4 pants.
Yes, we used to do that too.
And you put like a winter jacket on in anticipation of that. So actually the teachers, especially there's a unit leader from the teachers. There's a unit leader for that, for the entire school, 1 or 2 unit leaders.
Who's like the chief
They are the
punisher?
Chief punishers.
The chief whip, so to say.
And yes, so... they would try it at first, and if it doesn't give a sound that they're expecting, if it goes like poof, and
it's not like the way you react to the hurt,
then you'd be asked to get your jacket off, take your pants, and you get real whipped.
And they've gotten creative over time. I mean, I don't know how bad it is right now, but I find that school administrators have gotten very creative. I know in our high school, we had a person whose job was to go and collect whips from the forest. Did you have that person with the
yes.
title?
We have monitors, class monitors. And usually the class monitors, especially when I was in elementary school, are older guys. You know, these kids did some farming or herding. So they're like 15 when they're in first grade. Mm. So they would be the monitors of that class. And actually, in fact, a lot of the whipping comes from the monitors. They will just tell you, sit down straight. And if you don't sit down straight and don't say anything, if the teacher is not there, it's the monitor who's in charge. And they have every right.
They have absolute powers.
Yes.
Absolute powers over you.
And they would be the ones to go to the forest and collect whips for the homeroom teacher and the teachers as well. But the problem is, you know, these things don't last long. They're not plastics. You said they're really creative about it is... if you, in fact, use it, it's going to break after whipping 2-3 students.
Right.
They want it to last.
Durability was something they were striving for.
Exactly. So some of this, older country boys, they have a way of making these things durable. So what they do is they smoke it. So you put it under a chimney for 2 weeks. So when you whip a child, it's flexible enough that it's not going to break. And one of my second grade classmates, Salamon Baze, I remember his name. He had 61 whipping on the left hand. And he stopped crying at some point. And he just,
That's just horrible.
It's cruel.
So I guess, in the most bizarre way, that's their way of fighting deforestation, preserve the whip, but inflict as much pain on
In high school, though, the school had a budget for a whip, an actual whip, we had a budget for that. To get something, somebody goes to the market to buy that, the unit leader carries one, all the security guards in front of the school carry one. So they would be like whipping... students as they go into
right,
high school class.
Center. There was a bit of enjoyment here by the people who had that whip.
I mean, for them, it's a way of disciplining students, really. For me, it's really cruel. The monitor in the class does exactly the same thing that the teachers do. And even some of your classmates amongst one another, we become, violent. Beating someone is okay. It's justified. You can beat someone. You can bully someone. The world is yours. Hey,
thank you very much, Hanok. I know we are running out of time. If you want to continue the conversation, we can connect on social media. My Twitter handle is at UpfrontAfrica. If you want to see some of the videos that I shot in Sierra Leone, Freetown, check out my Instagram. I know we were making light of some of this, but it's really quite serious. And many students have said that it does leave a lasting impression, both physical and psychological, on them. And so, this is a conversation is ongoing. Tweet me, send me a message, email us at upfrontafrica@voanews.com, and let's continue the conversation. We'll catch you again next time, right here, same place, same time, on Upfront. My name is Jackson Vunganyi. Goodbye.
your life, don't drool. Don't be a fool like those that don't go to school. Get ahead.